You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Right off the bat, I've got some announcements to make, folks. By the way, tonight's broadcast is extremely important. Don't miss a single word. Constitution Party of Pennsylvania, the Delaware Valley chapter, will hold their regular meeting on Thursday, March 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Villanova Family Diner. Routes 30 and 320, 1,000 feet east of Interstate 476 in Villanova, Pennsylvania, at the suburb of Philadelphia. For everyone from the Delaware Valley area, Lehigh Valley area, and southern New Jersey and northern Delaware states, that's at the Villanova Family Diner, routes 30 and 320, 1,000 feet east of Interstate 476. For information during the daytime, this is only for during the daytime. Call Jackie at 610-896-8897. That's Jackie at 610-896-8897 between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. After 5 p.m., between 7 and 10 p.m., call Mike at 610-494-2113. That's Mike at 610-494-2113, and that's only between 7 and 10 p.m. Also, the South Carolina Constitution Party will have their meeting on April the 1st. Meetings will be held all day at the Holiday Inn at Rock Hill, South Carolina, at I-77 and U.S. 21 on Cherry Road. That's I-77 and U.S. 21 on Cherry Road at the Holiday Inn. Call for details, 803-684-3155. That's 803-684-3155. Again, that's for South Carolina. And any states adjoining, you're welcome to attend that meeting if you wish. Also, the Michigan Constitution Party. Tell me we're not growing, folks. Just listen to this. Michigan Constitution Party, March 18th. 2 p.m. at the John Kuhn headquarters located in Ferndale on the northwest corner of Hilton and Marshall in the Old White Church just east of Woodward between 8 and 9 Mile Roads. That's the Michigan Constitution Party, March 18th, 2 p.m. at the John Kuhn headquarters located in Ferndale on the northwest corner of Hilton and Marshall in Old White Church just east of Woodward between 8 and 9 Mile Roads. Call 810-674-8094 for details. That's 810-674-8094 for details. The Constitution Party, folks, is the fastest growing third political party or new political party in history. I mean, it took the Libertarian Party years to get 20 members. We're going gangbusters. H.R. 499, H.R. 499 is in Congress, and you need to call, write, fax, do whatever you have to make sure this bill passes. To require the withdrawal of the United States from the North American Free Trade Agreement and for other purposes, NAFTA, to repeal NAFTA, you must support this bill. It's H.R. 499. And it has IH after it. I have no idea what that means. H.R. 499, to require the withdrawal of the United States from the North American Free Trade Agreement and for other purposes, Write it down, H.R. 499. Every single person out there should be calling on this, should be faxing, should be writing, should be doing everything three times a day. In the House of Representatives, January 13, 1995, Mr. DeFazio for himself, Mrs. Kaptur, Mr. Hunter, Mr. Abercrombie, Mr. Brown of Ohio, Mr. Evans, Mr. Everett, Mr. Henchy, Mr. Klink, Mr. Lipinski, Mr. Miller of California, Mrs. Mink of Hawaii, Mr. Poloni, Mr. Peterson of Minnesota, Mr. Sanders, Mr. Taylor of Mississippi, Mr. Traficant, and Ms. Velasquez introduced the following bill, which was referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Make sure you also fax, call, and write the Committee on Ways and Means. A bill to require the withdrawal of the United States from the North American Free Trade Agreement, and for other purposes, make sure that you get a copy, and we need to get a copy because I don't have a full copy yet, and find out what these other purposes are. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, Section 1, short title. This act may be cited as the NAFTA Withdrawal Act of 1995. Section 2, withdrawal from NAFTA. Pursuant to Article 2205 of the North American Free Trade Agreement, the President of the United States shall, not later than 90 days after the date of the enactment of this act, notify the Government of Canada and the Government of the United Mexican States of the withdrawal of the Government of the United States from that agreement. Section 3, modifications to United States law. The President shall, not later than 90 days after the date of the enactment of this act, submit to the Congress proposed legislation making those changes to United States law that are necessary to make effective the withdrawal of the United States from the North American Free Trade Agreement. Okay, folks, everybody understand what I just read to you? Okay, now I want you to listen very closely. What you're going to hear was written, produced, played, and sang by a man that I consider to be a great patriot and a good, close, personal friend. He's helped us out an awful lot around here. He made this album himself. It's a wonderful album. We're going to use it a lot on this broadcast. The artist who wrote, played all the instruments, and sang this, is Mr. Paul Story of New Hampshire. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
We need American pride to rebuild America. And don't take us back to where we were, but to where we should have been. All for the people who've been long forgotten and just ignored again. Pride with our American pride. We need American pride to rebuild America. And we're working hard for the fame and love. Now we're just surviving. While tax-paying suckers are what we'll become, while living on a reservation. Pride with our American pride. We need American pride to rebuild America. So reach out your hand to help someone and learn to understand them. For we as a nation can make the line together rebuild again. Pride with your American pride. We need American pride to rebuild American pride. Are you American pride? Be an American pride.
Well, I don't know about you folks, but I'm extremely proud of Paul's story. And you ain't heard nothing yet. There's a whole album of this stuff. And don't call and ask if we're going to make it available. I don't know if we will or not. He gave it to me to use for this broadcast. And maybe that's what we're going to do, and maybe that's only what we're going to do. And I got to tell you right now, I am seriously thinking of making that the theme song for the hour of the time, and get rid of what we've been using up until this time as sort of a wake-up shocker. I think I've just about awakened everybody that I can awake, and I'm going to have to work with those of you who are awake. And maybe this is one way to do it. Folks, we have a problem. Big problem. And we have to deal with it right away. You see, there's going to be a conference of the states if all of the states get behind this. It's really a constitutional convention in disguise. And the next issue of Veritas is going to have an awful lot about this. We're going to open the can of worms and lay it out on the table so that you can all look at it. But tonight we've got to talk about it, because this Thursday, Pennsylvania, the home of the original Constitution, is going to be voting, having hearings, determining whether or not they're going to approve this conference of the states. Now, this is significant in the overall sense of sending a message to the nation and to the world. You see, if Pennsylvania, the home of our original Constitution, says, yes, we're going to support this, then that's a tremendous coup in the favor of our enemies. However, if we can defeat it in the place where our original Constitution was born, it is a tremendous coup for our side, and we must defeat this. So I am going to read an order now from the commanding general of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. Effective immediately, all officers and men of the Second Continental Army of the Republic will attend a demonstration unarmed, in civilian dress, peacefully, on Thursday, this Thursday, in Pennsylvania. Any officer or man who cannot attend will forward to their commanding officer an explanation for that non-attendance. Now, I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that those of you who are not a part of the Second Continental Army of the Republic will also respond. There must be a clear voice heard in opposition from the people to the state legislature of the state of Pennsylvania that this cannot be allowed. Now I'm going to read to you a story from the Montgomery County Observer, and the name of it is The Conference of the States or Constitutional Convention. It appears governors and legislative leaders of all 50 states may meet this fall in a conference of the states in an effort to force Congress to give back some power, they say. A bipartisan group of governors and state lawmakers has scheduled a third working session last Friday to focus on logistical matters. The first two settled on language for calling the conference. These leaders believe a conference of the states is going to happen and that it's just a question of when. The task force, set up by the National Governors Association and the National Conference of State Legislatures, decided it should have the approval of at least 26 state legislatures to call for this meeting of all states. Utah Governor Mike Leavitt, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, is confident the support is out there for what he calls a historic gathering. He's the one who is the force behind this. Levitt, the prime mover behind the conference, believes all states will approve the idea. So far this year, Kentucky, Arkansas, Utah, Iowa, Virginia, and Delaware have passed resolutions calling for such a conference. In 9 others, one chamber has given its approval, with final approval pending in the other. It's just a matter of time before we get a majority of states to pass it, said Carl Tubesing, director of NCSL's Washington office. The NGA and NCSL set up the joint task force last summer. The implied threat from the states is that if the federal government doesn't agree to the proposals agreed upon by the Conference of the States to give back some power now enjoyed by Congress, the states can offer a constitutional amendment Congress might find even less appealing. The consensus of task force members is that the Conference of the States will be held in Philadelphia. That's why it's called Philadelphia 2. Now, if it's not a constitutional convention, why is it called Philadelphia 2? Philadelphia 1 was the original constitutional convention where our Constitution was written. The consensus of task force members is that the Conference of the States will be held in Philadelphia, where the Founding Fathers drew up the Constitution. Levitt hopes the meeting can be on October 24th, so business could be concluded before 1996 presidential politics take over the national stage. Now remember, folks, Osiris was born in July, and Typhon was born in October. I hope you understand the meaning of the symbology here. So business could be concluded before 1996 presidential politics take over the national stage. Levitt says the current leadership in Congress is very friendly to the idea. He says Senate Republican leader Bob Dole, who, by the way, folks, is a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite of the Southern Jurisdiction, and I continue, and House Speaker Newt Gingrich, ditto, have expressed an interest in having Congress send a delegation. Levitt said that no organized opposition has surfaced to a conference of the states, which is not quite true, since many of the patriot groups have raised serious questions about this conference. Many Americans are clearly disturbed by this movement for a conference of the states. Historical documents provide a clear insight into this movement for a new constitutional convention. Its passage would authorize a series of a convocation of states is tantamount to and possession of the process essential to a constitutional convention. The formalized appointment of certified delegates empowered to vote at this federal convocation. The resolutions which become legal instruments authorizing the delegates to deliberate, propose, and adopt long-term fundamental structural changes in the United States Constitution. In Pennsylvania, Senate Bill No. 12 was introduced by Senator Mike Fisher, has been passed. A similar House Resolution No. 30 has also been introduced, but has not yet been voted on. Among the supporters are two local reps, Bunt and Fichter of Montgomery County. In a speech in Arizona last April, Governor Michael Leavitt stated that he was considering a plan to call a constitutional convention. This statement upset his audience and members of the Utah legislature. State Representative Mett Johnson said, "Mike got all wild and weird on us with his constitutional convention speech in Phoenix. The Constitution isn't broken. We don't want to open it up. When Mike started talking about that, we just put our heads in our mashed potatoes and groaned, oh, no." That's from the Salt Lake Tribune, April 25, 1994. In September of 1989, the CSG recommended that the following words be added to the Tenth Amendment. Quote, "Whether a power is one reserved to the states or to the people shall be decided by the courts," end quote. This incredible proposal, the transfer of state power to the federal courts, should sound a clear alarm to any legislator who thinks that the Levitt CSG Conference of the States is intended to restore balance to the state-federal relationship. According to constitutional attorney Peter D. Lepescopo of San Diego, the danger is that the conference will decide to make application to Congress to convert itself into a constitutional convention. His recommendation is that the following limiting language be inserted into the resolution of participation. Quote, "Be it further resolved that Pennsylvania's participation in any conference of the states shall not be interpreted or construed to be for the purpose of amending or proposing amendments to the Constitution of the United States," end quote. And that's the end of the article. And that is not enough. Because it says, be it further resolved that Pennsylvania's participation in any conference of the states shall not be interpreted or construed to be for the purpose of amending or proposing. It doesn't say that it will not be. These people are masters with trickery, with language, and lies, and deceit. I tell you, they are the scum of the earth, and something's got to be done quick. We're going to find ourselves without a constitution, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious, extremely serious. Now I'm going to show you why it is so serious, because while the governors are going around putting together this conference of the states, in Congress, there is a bill introduced in the Senate, Senate Resolution 82. Listen to this. Senate Resolution 82. Senate Resolution 82. To petition the states to convene a conference of the states to consider a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. Now, that sounds like what everybody wants. And it sounds innocent enough. But if this goes through the Senate, it confers upon the Conference of the States the legality of a constitutional convention. This is dangerous. And these people must be running scared to be fielding things like this, which means this militia movement must be having an effect somewhere. In the Senate of the United States, March the 2nd, Legislative Day, February the 22nd, 1995. March the 2nd, Legislative Day, February the 22nd, 1995. Mr. Brown, for himself, and Mr. Helms submitted the following resolution, which was referred to the Committee on the Judiciary. Resolution. To petition the states to convene a conference of the states to consider a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. Whereas Article 1 of the Constitution of the United States of America provides that the Congress is vested with the authority to lay and collect taxes, to pay the debts of the United States, to borrow money on the credit of the United States, and to appropriate money from the Treasury. Whereas for the past quarter century, Congress has been unable to balance the nation's budget in any year. Whereas the President of the United States has submitted a budget which increases the deficit in future years, whereas members of Congress have been unable to agree on language of the United States, the opportunity to vote on a constitutional amendment requiring a balanced budget, now therefore be it resolved that Congress hereby petitions the several states of the United States of America to convene a conference of the states for the express and exclusive purpose of drafting an amendment to the Constitution of the United States requiring a balanced budget and prohibiting the imposition of unfunded mandates on the states, and that such states then consider whether it is necessary for the states to convene a constitutional convention pursuant to Article 5 of the Constitution of the United States in order to adopt such amendment. We are in big trouble. Everyone who can hear my voice tonight had better be in Pennsylvania on Thursday. And in every other state thereafter, when this comes up for debate, for discussion, or for a vote. This is extremely important. It is the nation. You've heard me say over and over again that the Constitution for the United States of America is the nation. And it is. This must not be allowed. Now listen to this. Here's an overview. The Conference of the States will be the first formal gathering of the states since 1787. This conference will be a historic effort by the states to restore their status as equal partners in the federal system. The Conference of the States is a non-legal, yet formal process for states to develop a plan to restore balance to the federal system, they say. The Conference of the States will be convened when a majority of states pass resolutions of participation in the Conference of the States. Each state will vote to send a bipartisan delegation, not to exceed 7 members, to the Conference of the States. the governor and no more than six legislators, three from each house, with at least one of those from each major political party. Two alternate legislators, one from each party, also will be appointed in each chamber. The Conference of the States is expected to occur in the fall of 1995 in a historically symbolic location such as Philadelphia. Now, what does that tell you? The end product of the Conference of the States will be a state's petition specifying a set of statutory, legal, and constitutional measures essential to an effective, balanced state-federal partnership. Now, this is baloney, folks. It's pure, unadulterated bullshit. The truth is that once these representatives of the states, approved by the governor and the state legislature, attend this meeting and close the door, they can do what they want to do with the Constitution or with the nation. And that is a fact. It's exactly what our forefathers did. They went to Philadelphia to consider some improvements in the Articles of Confederation. They didn't go there to make a constitution or to change the country. They went there to discuss improvements in the Articles of Confederation. When they got there, they closed the doors, and a motion was entertained to scrap the Articles of Confederation and build a brand new country. And that's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what these people intend to do, and you'd better understand it right now. We cannot allow this. There had better be several million people in Philadelphia this Thursday. If only a few people show up, you can kiss your country goodbye. If we can defeat it in Pennsylvania, we can defeat it across the nation. If we lose in Pennsylvania, it's going to be difficult to defeat it anywhere. The Conference of the States, ladies and gentlemen, in its defining characteristics, enjoys broad bipartisan support from state leaders across the country. Politicians. These are the people who lie and deceive and manipulate. It is guided by a national bipartisan steering committee of state elected officials under the auspices of the Council of State Governments in cooperation with the National Governors Association and the National Conference of State Legislatures. The Conference of the States is an initiative of, for, and by the states to advocate a balanced federal system with a strong yet limited federal government, and with states and local governments handling a larger share of the domestic governance vote, or role, I should say. The Conference of the States does not address or advocate any single or special issue interests, they say. It does not speak to abortion or gun control, nor does it identify with any group or individual, and that's crap. The Conference of the States is a forum for the states to formally, collectively, and responsibly define their rightful roles in the federal system based upon past principles and new governance challenge in the 21st century, they say. The truth is much, much different, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you. So, don't fall for this. Now, so far, members of the Second Continental Army of the Republic, the Constitution Party, the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, and other groups have stopped what's happening in Pennsylvania. And they've done it very well. Masterfully, I would say. The members of the Constitution Party sent a notice of declaration to sue for violation of oath of office and breach of contract. And it says this: whereas we, the people, as principals, hereby serve notice to you as office holders and agents that should you propose or implement any legislation, propose or implement any resolution, support any document or take any action that is in violation of the Constitution for the state of Pennsylvania, and you can insert any state in there you want, and are the Constitution for the United States of America, we will take any legal and lawful remedy available to us to file suit against you for violating your oath of office and breaching such contract between we the people and you. Well, folks, looks like we're not on shortwave. We may be on satellite. I don't know. We'll find out. So somebody call in. If you can hear my voice on satellite, call me right now. Hello.
Hi, is this Sierra at the time?
Yes.
Hi, what happened to your show tonight?
I don't know. What happened?
All of a sudden, the satellite just dropped out. Nothing.
The satellite dropped out?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
What time did this happen?
Probably about, it was just as Mr. Cooper was getting ready to read an item, probably about 10, 15 minutes ago. It just went totally dead.
To read which item? What had I done?
Okay, this is Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
He was... and you were going to read something, and then all of a sudden it went totally dead.
Okay, thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like somehow we lost our satellite feed. And I don't know if we're going to be back on shortwave or not. I don't even know if we're back on satellite or not. So if somebody's listening to satellite and they can hear my voice, please call in and let me know. Right now, please, if you can. The number is 602-337-2524. And we will be getting to the bottom of this. Good evening.
Yeah, Bill. You were off about 20 minutes. Just as you started that... Conference of the States information, you went right off. I called them up there in Nashville. First of all, they said they were taking point readings off their satellite, and then they denied it was even their station, so I don't know what's going on.
Denied what was even whose station?
WWCR. I asked them, I said, well, you are WWCR, aren't you? And they said, no. This was after they told me they were taking points off their satellite, and they were announcing on the station that you're on now that they were off the air with technical difficulties. You know, I'm beginning to wonder, this is not the first time, as I think last night I mentioned it when I called you about your other stuff, and you told me to call the station. I had called another satellite station, and this is just occurring just a little too much in my...
Well, the National Security Agency has the ability to shut off satellites or transponders or subcarriers anytime
absolutely.
They want.
Absolutely, that's what it sounded like. Somebody just threw a switch.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they probably did, but it's not going to do them any good, because I tell you right now, the Americans are getting very angry, and this is going to come to a screeching halt. These people are guilty of treason.
Good, good. So at some time, if it's not too inconvenient, could you maybe go over that Conference of the State information you were starting there?
Well, I'll go over it again tomorrow night. But tonight, I'm gonna continue with what I'm doing for the satellite listeners. So
okay.
If you're listening on satellite, just keep listening, because I'm going to finish this, and you need to be there, because these people intend upon destroying this country.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
And thank you. So let me finish reading this notice of declaration to sue for violation of oath of office and breach of contract. We will take any legal and lawful remedy available to us to file suit against you for violating your oath of office and breaching such contract between we the people and you. We demand a return to the Republican form of government guaranteed to us by the Founding Fathers. A Republican government within the meaning of the term as used in the federal Constitution, is one construed on the principle that the supreme power resides in the body of the people. Chisholm versus Georgia, 2 U.S., 2 Dow, 419, 457, 1 L.Ed., 440. You are further noticed that the state constitution is the mandate of a sovereign people to its servants and representatives
Not one of you has the right to ignore or disregard its mandates. State X. Ray Lemon versus Langley, 45, Wash 2nd, 82, 273, P. 2nd, 464, John F. Jelke Company versus Emory, 193, Wisconsin, 311, 214, NW 369, 53, ALR 463. You are hereby further noticed that we will not, under any condition whatsoever, accept any other constitution, such as the Constitution for the New States of America, or any other such abomination that fails to recognize the unalienable rights granted to us by our Creator in place of the constitutions already in our hands. Signed by whatever principal citizen in propria persona, sui juris, Pennsylvania State Free Republic, on this blank day of blank 1995, anno domini, before me personally appeared, and this is all the notarizing stuff. This is what we served upon the state legislatures in the state of Pennsylvania, and it stopped them dead in their tracks. We also have our station chief on the scene. We have members of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, the Intelligence Service, the militia, private citizens, concerned people, members of the Constitution Party, and we need everybody who can hear my voice to get to Pennsylvania on Thursday. Now, Colorado State Senator Charlie Duke went down there, and they only gave him 5 minutes to speak after traveling all the way from Colorado. Thursday, they're bringing in Governor Leavitt from Utah to convince them to carry on with the with this conference of the states. Now, here's an intelligence report from our station chief on the scene. The Constitution Party of Pennsylvania, along with many other patriot groups and individuals, were able to make enough of an impact in voicing an opposition to the Conference of States to be held in Philadelphia on October 24, 1995, which is, ladies and gentlemen, coincidentally the 50th anniversary of the United Nations, that we had the vote delayed in committee, forcing them to regroup. In other words, we stopped them cold. It passed out of committee last week in a 12-14 vote, much closer than before any protest was made. We were also successful in delaying a full House vote, which was to be made this Monday past. They have delayed it again until this Friday. The Republican leadership in Pennsylvania is calling Governor Leavitt of Utah the prime instigator of the Conference of States, at least on the surface. He really represents the collective body of the secret societies who want one world government. To do some damage control, right now the vote is too close to call and they want assurance of passage. Pennsylvania is the most key state in the Union for this measure. Not only is it to be the host state, but symbolically it is the place to have the conference. We have had the assistance of Senator Charles Duke of Colorado, who was rudely only given 5 minutes of time before the Pennsylvania Committee on Intergovernmental Relations in opposition to the passage of the resolution of participation for the Conference of States. And as an aside to me, he says, Bill, the Constitution was born in Pennsylvania. We cannot let it die here. Please urge any of the listeners tonight and the next few nights to make it up to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on Thursday and Friday, March 16th and 17th, 1995, on the steps of the state capitol. Even if they are not from Pennsylvania, they must attend. And the commanding general of the Second Continental Army of the Republic has issued an order that all officers and men of the Second Continental Army of the Republic will attend. New Jersey is arguing the participation resolution in their state house tomorrow, March 15th, 1995. Everyone in New Jersey should get on the stick as well. Make sure you're there when your state legislature argues this point and stop them in the vote. If we're able to stop Pennsylvania from participating, it will be a great blow to the New World Order globalists. Think of the humiliation of Governor Ridge and Philadelphia's Mayor Ed Rendell. If we stop it here, we can prove to the rest of the country that it can be done. The ripple effect will be devastating. Tell the people that this is not a Pennsylvania issue, but an American issue. that you cannot tamper with our Constitution in this day and age and get away with it. Let this be another shot heard round the world. Please, ladies and gentlemen, explain it in the most eloquent manner that only you can do. That from our station chief on the scene. His name shall remain confidential. And here's an update that we got later today from that same station chief. The time of the demonstration against the Conference of States is set for 12 noon on Thursday, March 16, 1995. That's 12 noon on Thursday, March 16, 1995. Governor Ridge has called in Governor Mike Leavitt to address the Rules Committee on the Conference of States. The exact location of the Capitol building demonstration is not known yet, but anyone interested in such location, please call either of the following numbers on Wednesday, that's tomorrow, between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Call this number tomorrow between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. You can call 610-494-2113 or 610-896-8897. That's 610-494-2113. 610-494-2113 or 610-896-8897. Now, please, folks, call each member of the Rules Committee. That's not the phone numbers I just gave you. You're going to have to find those out. Call each member of the Rules Committee for the legislature of the state of Pennsylvania and let them know that there is no need for a conference of states and that you will not stand for any tampering with the Constitution. The Constitution works fine. It's government that works poorly. The government that is in the hands of the enemies of the United States of America. The people in Washington are traitors committing treason. For a complete list of the members of the committee, call either of the above numbers that I gave you before, and they will give you that information. Now, this is important. Those of you listening on shortwave, you missed about 20 minutes of this broadcast. The Conference of the States is a constitutional convention in disguise. They are going to scrap the United States of America on the anniversary, 50th birthday of the United Nations, and what will emerge will be a world government, I can guarantee you. Now I'm going to read you a letter, a personal letter, written by Senator Charles R. Duke of Colorado, District 9. For some time now, there has been a movement afoot in this nation for states to call a constitutional convention, or CONCON, as the nickname goes. To date, 32 states have made a request for a constitutional convention by passing a joint resolution through their state legislative bodies. Colorado is one of these, having passed Senate Joint Memorial 1 in 1978. There are many, this writer among them, who believe this would be a very serious mistake. Usually the CONCON, sometimes called Philadelphia 2, is proposed to meet in Philadelphia, and the document most often suggested to replace our present Constitution is the New States Constitution, which the world first saw when I published my book. I published it in that book, in its entirety. And if you want to see what it is, get a copy of my book and read it. It will scare you to death. Is the New States Constitution, which will be the subject of a future letter, or column, he says. There are three states which have rescinded their request. The promoters of the CONCON, however, contend that passing a joint resolution to rescind that state's request does not actually alleviate the fact that the request was in fact made. It is the same philosophy that says you cannot unring a bell. At least one of these three, Nevada, included in their rescission resolution the direction to return to the official records for 1979, which was the year Nevada adopted their request, SRJ 8, for a CONCON. Draw a black border around the portion of the journal which contained SRJ 8 and write the words, expunged by order of the Assembly this 24th day of June 1989, across the face of the record. The effect of this, which passed the Nevada Assembly in 1989, is to actually remove from the historical record the request itself. This should place Nevada in a stronger position legally to deny that its request for a con-con is any longer valid. For a constitutional convention to happen, it must have been requested by 34 states. Depending on your viewpoint concerning rescissions, we are either two short or five short of that moment. The promoters of Philadelphia 2 have been unable to secure the final two states. And this is why, you will see why when you see more details of the new state's constitution. As the states' rights movement gains momentum across America, there have been and will continue to be attempts to stop or sidetrack the movement. In general, Philadelphia 2 promoters are moving in the opposite direction from state sovereignty. A clever but insidious device created by Governor Michael Leavitt of Utah last year calls for a conference of states. This idea was picked up by a lobbying organization known as the Council of State Governments, which may be thought of as the ultimate government lobbying agency. For those of you who read this first issue of Veritas, that is the organization at 1313 Media in Chicago, which wrote the original executive orders and legislation for Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1933. It was called PAG at that time. I continue, with memberships paid by tax dollars belong to all levels of government, from state to county to city. Late last year, the idea of the cause or the conference of states was endorsed by the National Governors Conference. You have to excuse me, folks. I've been here a lot of hours, and I'm going to be here all night and all day tomorrow, and I'm tired. So if I stumble on some words, please forgive me. This conference of states is an extremely dangerous action to take. An officially sanctioned meeting by 38 states has the power, if it wishes, to turn itself into a con-con by simply passing a resolution to that effect. It derives this power from the 10th Amendment, which fundamentally says that states have any power they wish so long as it is not prohibited by the Constitution. The Conference of States differs from other national meetings that might be held because the appointment of the delegates and the state endorsement of the meeting are by a resolution from your legislature most unusual. As further evidence, CSG speaks of the need for structural long-term changes to government being needed. It is proposed that the Conference of States be held in Philadelphia in the late summer or early fall of 1995. Since they have decided on a date as the 50th anniversary of the United Nations, Governor Leavitt's own position paper on the Conference of States states that our national government is outdated and old-fashioned. He states it is not suited for the fast-paced, high-tech global marketplace we are entering. There is a much better way, end quote. In the Colorado General Assembly, we have Senate Joint Resolution 9, introduced on January 19, 1995, by Senator Jeff Wells, the majority leader of the Colorado Senate. It is Colorado's request to participate in the Conference of States. Our delegation would consist of 7 members, 1 from the governor's office and 3 each appointed by the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate. It is said their work will have to be ratified by the states, and people no doubt think that means the legislature. But our Constitution permits ratifying conventions to ratify changes or replacement of our Constitution, completely bypassing the state legislatures. The Conference of States could decide all these matters in convention, including the appointment of delegates to a ratifying convention. SRJ 9 represents a process that should be defeated. The last Conference of the States that was called in 1786 ultimately resulted in a new Constitution. Although that document was momentous, many participants in that conference warned us not ever to let it happen again. The Constitutional Convention, disguised as the Conference of States, must be stopped at all costs. And if it is called, and if they in fact do away with the Constitution and substitute something like the New State's Constitution, which you can read in its entirety in my book. Nobody ever heard of it before I published it. Are a constitution for the Federation of Earth, which established a world government. It is now being circulated worldwide for ratification by the nations and people of Earth. And it is thick. It is thorough. It is distributed for ratification under the direction of the World Constitution and Parliament Association and the Global Ratification and Elections Network. And I assure you, it will show up at the Conference of States. So, folks, they have several different directions that they can take, all bad, all treasonous, all extremely dangerous to this country and to all of us. Now, again, I must reiterate, all of you must be there Thursday and Friday, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on the Capitol building steps beginning at noon on Thursday. The commanding general of the Second Continental Army of the Republic has ordered all officers and men to be present unarmed and in civilian clothes peacefully to demonstrate. All of the rest of you have a choice. I hope you choose correctly. For upon your choice could depend the future of this nation. And that is a fact. And that future, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot leave to chance. Nor can we leave it to the supposed benevolent nature of a group of politicians who collectively have proven that they are good at just about one thing and one thing only: lies, deceit, and manipulation. If you trust them to go into a building and close the doors under the approval of the governors and the state legislatures to consider amendments to, changes to, additions or subtractions of words to, or the elimination of the Constitution of the United States, then we are, in fact, a nation of fools. We must defeat this effort in Pennsylvania. If we can defeat it in Pennsylvania, we can defeat it everywhere in this country. If it passes in Pennsylvania, it will be difficult at best to defeat it anywhere. Remember, Philadelphia is the home of the Constitution of the United States of America. Philadelphia 1 was the scrapping of the Articles of Confederation and the adoption of a new Constitution, which created, in effect, a new nation. Philadelphia 2 can be nothing less than a second attempt to do the exact same thing under the disguise of granting more power to the states and less power to the federal government. Now you sit down and think about this really hard, and then you make a decision. Me, I'm going to be up and I'm going to be here directing my organizations in this effort and bringing you the news on the hour of the time until we are either victorious or we suffer a defeat. It is you who will make the difference, and you alone. You can rationalize and you can make every excuse in the world why you have to stay home and do nothing, or why you can't write letters or phone or fax. You can fool yourselves, but that's about all. In quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think you can do that. Thursday, noon, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the Capitol steps. Friday, they're going to vote on the Conference of the States in the home of the Constitution of the United States of America. Thursday and Friday will be a great moment in history, or it will be an infamous moment in what will become the history of a once great nation. Good night. Consider your decision. Put a lot of weight on it. God bless you all.
Then we may.